you want to turn to number 533, we're going to begin each class for the next couple of weeks with this song, number 533. I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd, watching over my soul. My soul to keep guarding over and over, watching wherever I go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter. And when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. We are his children and he is our father, watching over our soul. Great is his love for his sons and his daughters, watching wherever we go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter. And when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. We will, for the next couple of weeks, be continuing to delve into, continue to explore this relationship that we have with God our Father, as Scripture defines this in so many different places, this sheep-shepherd relationship we have one with another. The psalmist would write in Psalms 100 and verse 3 that we are God's people and the sheep of his pasture. So that's talking about us, of course. And of course, in John chapter 10, where Christ tells us that I am the good shepherd, he is the one watching over us. We'll probably have a couple of more verses as we go through this morning that will talk about that as well. But we're going to ask David to help us as we go through and look at this relationship. And we're relying on him because of the unique perspective that David has. We know, of course, that he was a shepherd. He was a full-time shepherd. As they went through one by one, Jesse's sons, as they were replacing Saul as a king, they had to go out into the field and bring David in because he was out tending to the sheep. So he was a full-time shepherd, but David is also one of God's people. And because of that, of course, then he is a sheep as well. So he has this unique perspective of being a sheep and a shepherd together. So we're going to be looking at the 23rd Psalm through David's eyes, because a lot of these things that he wrote really do pertain to the physical sheep and shepherd relationship, as well as the spiritual sheep and shepherd relationship. So we started off last week, of course, saying the Lord is my shepherd, that first phrase of Psalms 23, and we could just imagine David saying this with great pride and great admiration. Yes, I'm a shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. And believe that's probably the way that he felt about that statement as he made it. He follows up then by saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we looked at that word want there. The Hebrew word there is the word hasir, and it means to lack nothing, to lack nothing you need. It's good to make a distinction there, because when we hear our English word want, we think, well, wow, anything I want, God is going to give me, okay, because he is my shepherd. And that's not what's being said at all. In fact, Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and 33 tells us that if you seek righteousness, if you pursue living a righteous, a godly life, then all of your needs are going to be met. And earlier in that chapter, he defined those needs. Do not worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear, because your Father in heaven is going to take care of those things. And so those are our needs, our basic needs, and that is what the promise is made to us. Let's be careful that we don't try to hold God to some promise that he didn't make, okay, and overstate that for him, because that's not what he did. But is it, when it comes to this relationship between shepherd and sheep, we can say this: there is no greater delight for a shepherd, there's no greater reward, there's no deeper satisfaction than that of seeing his sheep contented, well-fed, safe, and flourishing under his care. That's physically, and that's spiritually, and so it is with Christ, our good shepherd. In John chapter 10, Christ made the statement, "I have come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly." My purpose, other translations read, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So what is meant by an abundant, satisfying life? Physically and spiritually, that the sheep are contented, that they're well fed, that they're safe, and that they're flourishing under his care. And so that's the way that we as sheep should feel. So he goes on in his next phrase there and says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now this phrase also always struck me funny, I guess. When we apply our English to it, if somebody tells us to do something and it's not something we want to do, what do we say to them? Well, make me, okay? Make me do it. And so if we apply our English understanding of that word, then we get this picture then that the good shepherd is making his sheep lay down, okay, whether they want to or not. Well, again, let's go back to the Hebrew and see what was really said. Maketh there is a verb, and the Hebrew word there is a word H-I-F-I. L, you don't need to memorize any of this, obviously, but it's what they call a conditional verb, and what they mean by that is it creates a condition. So what this phrase is really saying is that the good shepherd, that he provides the conditions that cause his sheep to want to lie down, okay? They are contented sheep. Okay, here's something about the animal, the sheep. There's strange things about them, but we can apply them to ourselves, and we will. Because of their very makeup, it is almost impossible to make them lie down unless there are four requirements that are met. Number one, they have to be free from fear. If they're afraid of anything, they are not going to lie down. Number two, they have to be free from tension, from friction of their own kind, within their own kind. It's really a lack of peace. If they have a lack of peace, they're not going to lie down. The third thing is free from the torment of flies or parasites. And those are kind of regarded as aggravations in everyday life. And the fourth one is that they are free from hunger. So we're going to look at all four of these things from a scriptural standpoint and see what we can learn about these. So first one, our shepherd makes us free from fear. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, we read, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline." his words to Joshua in Joshua 1 and 9, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God, your good shepherd, is with you wherever you go. The prophet Isaiah would say in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and help you. And of course, the famous verse in Philippians 4 and 13 is that I can do all things through Christ, my good shepherd, who gives me strength. So our good shepherd has done things that should do away with fear in our lives. Number two, our shepherd makes us free from tension, from friction amongst other sheep. In every sheep herd, there's a pecking order. It's sometimes called a butting order because sheep sit there and will butt their heads against each other. But of course, what they're doing is vying for being the top sheep in the flock. There's rivalry, there's tension, there's competition for status, self-assertion, and these things can cause friction within the flock. Let's look over in the book of Ezekiel. That's on page 1353 if you need help finding it. If we start in verse 11, I have a heading there that says the Good Shepherd. And in those first two verses, verses 11 and 12, Ezekiel 34, did I hear somebody? I'm sorry, Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12. For this is what the Sovereign Lord said, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them for all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. And then skip over to verse 20. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. Well, thanks a lot. For your fat sheep pushed and butted and crowded my sick and hungry flock until you scattered them to distant land. So I will rescue my flock and they will no longer be abused. I will judge between one animal of the flock and another. And the point that's being made here is that it is the Good Shepherd that is going to free us from this tension that's going on within the flock itself. The fourth thing that we want to see is that, let me find my spot here, is the shepherd makes us free from hunger. He takes us to green pastures. Close your eyes for just a minute, and what do you picture when you hear green pastures? Do you see a field out there that's full of cattle and the grass is so thick and high that it's up to the bellies and they have just got it made? Well, that is a true picture, okay, but I've got to tell you that David would absolutely laugh at that picture. Let's remember where he is a shepherd. He is a shepherd in the hills around Bethlehem and those hills in Judea. Do you know that the majority of the sheep in this world are raised in semi-arid areas? What they have then are clumps of grass around versus this pasture that is just solid grass. But the shepherd knows where to find the grass. He knows how much they need and, importantly, what kind of food that they need, and he is sure that they are fed with what they need. So is our good shepherd. He makes sure that we have the spiritual food that we need, and the spiritual green pastures that our shepherd leads us to are found in his word, of course. Leads us to give us an abundant life of joy, of victory over sin and commitment. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Jesus would also say in Matthew chapter 4 that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So our shepherd gives us spiritual food. Consuming this spiritual food lets us live a life of peace in the presence of our shepherd. Therefore, the phrase maketh me to lie down implies that God, our good shepherd, lovingly provides a secure, peaceful environment to the believer, who is us, who is his sheep, so that we can experience complete tranquility. He goes on in that phrase and says, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. All God's creatures require water. It is said that the human body is comprised 60% of water. It says that the sheep is comprised 70% of water. So every function that the body has requires water. But for the sheep, not just any water is going to do. The good shepherd makes sure that he leads his sheep to quiet, still water. If the sheep don't have clean and pure water available to them, they often wind up drinking from polluted potholes where they pick up internal parasites and they pick up disease germs. In spiritual terms, when we see this phrase to drink, it simply means to take in, to accept, or to believe. Polluted potholes spiritually would refer to Satan and to sin, and clear, pure water would represent God and Jesus. So we can hear the words of Jesus in John 7, verses 37 through 39, and let's turn to there. John 7, beginning in verse 37. Jesus promises living water, and he says there, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When a sheep becomes thirsty, they start seeking and searching for water. Similarly, when men and women begin thirsty for God, they're often sometimes unsure about where to look. They're unsure what they are really looking for. So this begs us to ask ourselves a couple of questions. What kind of pastures are we laying down in? What kind of water are we drinking? It is only the good shepherd who knows where the true green pastures are. It's only the good shepherd who knows where the still, quiet, deep, and clean and pure water is found. It's only the good shepherd that knows that only green pastures and clean water can satisfy his sheep and keep them spiritually fit and strong. So we must ask ourselves, are we allowing to be led by the good shepherd, or are we like the sheep that headbutts everything along the way? Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. So it is our good shepherd that creates peaceful conditions that lets us lay down in green pastures. He makes sure that we have got the pure, clean water, spiritually and physically, so that the sheep have everything that they need.
Alan,
yes?
The stupid sheep ran away a mile away. They left their home where they were safe and
Yeah.
And went away.
Yeah.
And it's just such a metaphor.
Because that's what they do. Unfortunately, that's what we do sometimes, even when we know better. We still get out there and drink from that polluted water. We know what the outcome is going to be, but unfortunately, we do it anyway.
And it's hard to get them home.
Yes, yes. You got to put them back on the right path. And that's what the good shepherd does. In fact, Billy, his next phrase, he restoreth my soul and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need to remember, as David has made this phrase right here, that he is a sheep. He's God's people. He is a sheep under the good shepherd's care. We could ask ourselves the question, how could anybody who's under the good shepherd's care ever become so distressed in soul as to need restoration? David has a unique outlook on that as well, does he not? There's an old English term that the old English shepherds use, and I think Arlen touched on this several weeks ago when he was talking about the sheepfold, but they have a term that is called a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. This term describes a sheep that is turned on its back and cannot get up by itself. If you think about and can picture what a big, fat, healthy sheep looks like, they have got this humongous, big, fat body, and they've got legs that are just about this long, and that's it. So the picture that we get of a cast-down sheep is that sheep is laid over on its back, and is sitting there, and those little short legs are just kicking back and forth and trying to get up, and they can't do it. They are extremely top-heavy. And what was it, I'm sorry?
Like a turtle.
Like a turtle. A fat, healthy, long-fleeced sheep can lay down comfortably in a little hollow or a little depression in the ground. Relax. That depression causes them to roll over on their side and eventually onto their back, and they're stuck. For a healthy sheep, if this happens in hot, sunny weather, they can die in a few hours. If it happens in cool, cloudy, rainy weather, they can die in a few days. But unless somebody comes along and rights them, they cannot do it by themselves, and they will sit there and die. So one job that a good shepherd has is that he is always on the lookout for cast-down sheep, because who else is looking for them as well? The predators, that's exactly right. The buzzards, the vultures, the dogs, the coyotes, the cougars, the lions, the bears, as David mentioned that he had to fight sometimes to protect his sheep. The lion, of course, it makes us think immediately of Satan and how if we are spiritually downcast, that it is Satan that's sitting there waiting to swoop us up. And if this happens to us spiritually, it's just like that sheep, and that is that spiritual death is not far away if the good shepherd doesn't come along and right us and get us out of that hole and offer off of our backs. David, as a shepherd, fully understood the problems of a cast sheep. But David said that he restores my soul. David, we know, unfortunately, was definitely acquainted with the bitterness and the feeling of hopelessness without strength in himself. In fact, David would use these terms in the King James. Psalms 42 and 11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" The NIV for that same verse would be, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" And of course, what's he talking about? What David's got on his mind right there, but a cast down sheep. David, of course, we know was a man after God's own heart. A man that we say would be spiritually strong. He was under the protection of the great shepherd. He was loved by the great shepherd. And yet, he knew what it was like to be downcast and dejected. David had tasted defeat in his life. He'd felt the frustration of having fallen under temptation. The depression or rut that the sheep laid down in that we mentioned before could represent being in places that we shouldn't be in, participating in activities that we shouldn't be. That stupid sheep, Billy, that wanders way off from the sheepfold. And when we lay in them too long, we can find ourselves hopelessly on our back with our feet flailing helplessly in the air. And if we're left in that condition, we can experience physical death. And there's only one thing that can rescue us, and that's the Good Shepherd coming along and uprighting us and leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So not only does a good sheep need to upright the cast down sheep, but up on its feet, the Good Shepherd needs to redirect the sheep back to the right path, send them back where they need to go. Sheep are notorious creatures of habit, and if they're left to themselves, they will follow the same trails and graze the same trails until they become grassless waste. There's a serious misconception that sheep can get along anywhere, direct their own steps. Proverbs 16 and 9 tells us, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In Jeremiah 10 and 23, "I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our course." So if we find ourselves spiritually cast down, it is only the Good Shepherd who can upright us and can lead us back on the right path. But as sheep, we've got to be willing to be led. We've got to be willing to follow. If we're going to fight the Good Shepherd all the way, then that's not going to work for us. Jesus would say in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, "If anybody wants to be my follower, my sheep, we could say, you must give up your own way, get off this path that you have chosen for yourself, take up your cross, get on the right path that I've chosen for you, and follow me." He makes this possible by filling us with his Holy Spirit, and we must be willing to do his will. Philippians 2:13 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. For this is the Good Shepherd who restores my soul and leads me on the paths of righteousness." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are our good shepherd, that we may be called your sheep. Father, we know there are times when we get off on the wrong path. Father, please find us, upright us, fill us with the attitude that we want to be led by you, the Good Shepherd. Help us to get back on the right path, back to the protection of your sheepfold. Thank you for loving us and sending us Christ, the Good Shepherd, and we pray in his name.